All right, well, welcome everybody. It is Thursday, October 24th. We are starting our board meeting. It is 6:15. So let's go ahead and start with the financial report from Brian Cates.
Okay, thank you. A couple of items before we jump into the budget. The audit is wrapping up. I was told today that it's in partner review, and they're hoping to have a draft to me by tomorrow or early next week. I know there's they just recently requested Cody's information, the board chair's information, so that they could ask him a couple of questions. But other than that, we should be very close. This is a very busy time as far, yeah.
Just so you know, you had sent your email, so we need to respond immediately because they want to be done by tomorrow.
They would like to, yeah.
Yeah. What requires a response?
He just needs to respond to their questions. All they asked from me was his contact info, so I'm not sure specifically. It has to do with fraud inquiries.
So they have 7 items.
Those are for Cody to respond
Cody.
To?
I responded to them, and then he needs to respond.
Okay.
This is a busy time in Utah grants as far as applications, setting up our goals, approving those applications, getting them submitted, by the end of next week, November 1st. We're on track for that. We did this last year, but I was going to say, each year I kind of have a reminder that as the audit wraps up, if you as a board would like the auditor, the third-party auditor, who is Squire, to come and answer any questions, they are always willing to do that. So if you guys decide you want to do that again, I know he came last year, but he can do that if you so desire.
Have they given us any informal indications that there are any flags on our anticipated audit report?
Not yet, but I don't anticipate any, so we should be okay.
Just from what the questions they asked, the paperwork we gave them, they never asked for follow-up.
Mm-mm.
They came.
I was just going to mention that I have not received any follow-up for anything or.
Yeah. Good.
Great.
You mentioned grants. What are there a couple you're working on?
Just all the grants. All the grants flow through Utah grants. So you name it, it's going to be in there.
And there are only 2 that are outstanding, Title III and IDEA.
Yeah, so you know your Title I, II, III, IDEA, Enhancement for a Risk, all of the programs that actually don't require applications flow through there as well. I did want to mention, last month, if you recall, there was some discussion, restricted funds, a lot of discussion with regards to AISU and what happened with that organization. An email was sent out by their former board chair to all board chairs everywhere. I know not everybody has read that. It was pretty lengthy email. And I had requested from Jeff Hurst at American, who's the broker at American Insurance, to provide some color as far as what Esperanza's coverage is. And he responded actually today, this afternoon. I've only forwarded to Logio so far, but I'm gonna forward this to each of you as well. It has a lot of information with regards to AISU and that situation, because he was very close to that situation.
He being
Jeff Hurst, okay. the person who sent the email, who is the broker I work with at American Insurance,
okay.
And also works with Esperanza. And so he has a few items kind of enumerated where he talks about that situation. And then he proceeds to talk about Esperanza's coverage with regards to educators' legal liability, what the limits are, the umbrella, as far as what additional coverage that provides. And then he points out, he attaches a PDF, and he just points out some pages specifically that you all could review.
Did he indicate what kind of exposure he anticipates from that other school?
Yes and no. I mean, he shares some detail. He just says...
Will that play out over the coming months?
Yeah, I mean, that's how he ends his email. It's like, we're still trying to sort out the details of the ASU case, and we'll keep you, your business manager, informed as we learn more.
Well, wasn't the basic gist that with if something that...
Let me just say what he says here. He says, the situation with ASU is a bit extreme and unusual because of how things played out. Number two, the coverage for AASU is being tested in an extreme environment, and coverage is not performing very well. I happen to disagree with the insurer. Over the past week, I have talked with many people about the situation. There are divergent opinions about fault and roles. It's a mess. With the mixed messages, I can sort of understand the carrier's confusion, which is why the carrier turned to the courts to judge on coverage. Number three, by the time the individual directors were named, the situation had unfolded to a point where the insurer chose to let the courts intervene before stepping up to cover any individual directors. I believe the insurer should have stepped up to defend, or at the very least communicated the intent to defend, should the insurer be judged responsible to cover. The insurer could have communicated better with the board members and with other stakeholders during this time, but since they didn't communicate well, they left the individual directors feeling like they were, quote-unquote, hung out to dry. The timing and circumstances made this worse. And then after that, he goes into Esperanza's specific coverage. So I'm going to forward this to each one of you.
Mm-hmm. So the carrier did not provide defense for the for those directors?
That's what it's sounding like. But any specific questions, I'm going to defer to him. So I'm going to forward you this email. And I encourage you, if you have specific questions with regards to AASU, reach out to Jeff directly and let him know.
And it's HURST.
He's very helpful.
Hurst.
I'm going to forward you the email right now.
They only had the one campus, didn't they? Mm-hmm. I think they're the ones that came in February or March last year, and they were already
remember
in the process of things.
They were already trying to close them when they came to one of the trainings that we did.
It was a very snowy day. They were the only ones that came.
Yeah, they were the only ones that came.
Were all of the board members named in that, or key select ones who had been involved in particular decision-making?
I never heard all. I've heard some. I don't know if it was all of them or not.
You know if it was in their capacity as a board actor or for some of those board members serving dual roles in officer positions?
Yeah, I don't know that specifically either.
But didn't he say when things like that happen, it only affects the board as a body, not individuals?
No, it can affect individuals.
I thought it was the other way around.
And in that email that the ASU former board chair sent, it talks about a lot. That
did anybody read that?
I did.
You did?
I read it. The whole thing.
Yeah, I read the whole thing.
What better?
Yeah, definitely do. Yeah. It's an interesting. I mean, it provides kind of the other side of things that you didn't hear from. You know, the state charter school board or the state.
Now the state at the director's meeting made a couple of comments about it. They said that almost no other school in the state runs the same way they plan on running it, because there were investors trying to make money off of the school.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem occurred. So what they told us is, because we were all worried about it, they said if you don't have investors on the outside trying to manage you, really this is almost impossible for any board to face.
Yeah.
So they're very, very unique the way they're set up. Their point is that the state knew. The state approved their charter with those investors sitting on the side trying to make money.
Mm.
Why did they approve it if it was such
an
a bad
issue.
Thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, irrespective of state, that maybe unjustified state approval, who's suing the board members? The investors? Or the
It sounds like this, well, the state... And I have to refer back to the email to remember for sure.
It's trying to get the money from
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds
special
like the state.
Money.
Right.
It was the state?
Yeah. The state is trying to get money from them. And then the insurance company said, we're not going to
defend you.
We're not going to defend you because it was very wrong what was done.
That's not a basis for denying defense.
They talked about a few things too, the knowingly and...
Yeah, as far as all the legal ramifications and questions, I wouldn't be qualified to, to answer.
I think I will. I think you'll...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you please, I forwarded it to Marty. For some reason, his is the only email that populated from my phone. Could you please forward that to the rest of the board? I'd appreciate it.
Which, Marty,
did you send it to me?
I have two emails for you. Which is it? Is the real
I sent it to you before. Mm-hmm.
They both work.
Oh, they both work, okay. I have two for you.
And when you read the...
I have two for you.
Yeah, and if you have further questions with regards to what happened specifically with AISU, because if you when you read the former board chair from ASU's email, that used to be a Red Apple school.
And they actually
as
mentioned
of, I think, yeah, they mentioned them a couple times, just that they were, and then...
They improved, they enhanced their services by replacing...
Yeah, one of their remedial actions, they said, but if you talk to... Red Apple.
Who fired whom?
Yeah. Right. And Steve Finley at Red Apple was very close to that situation, and he, you know, he's pretty adamant that no, we went to them and said this isn't working. But if you have questions specific on that, Steve is more than happy to come, and he already has come to some board meetings at other schools to answer any questions with regards to our dealings with them. Because I wasn't very close to that situation. It was a little bit after I was hired, so... And I never handled them personally. So he's more than welcome, just so you know, to come and answer any questions as well. Okay?
Thanks.
Okay, PTIF. This will be, I have one copy here, but this will be on the drive, the Google Drive. So if you remember last month, we had made the transfer, the contribution, on August 30th. So in one day, it was $90 that we got. In the month of September, it's just under $1,300 interest earned. So that's great. We will keep that going. As far as the budget itself, you'll see we're in a good position, just over 5% operating margin. Cash balance is trending in the right direction. Our October 1 count was 537, which is great.
That number, well, I'll get to it when I speak.
Okay. No surprise there. We knew we were going to be a little over our cap and in a very healthy spot. We should see a little bit of a bump when the allotment trues up, hopefully in December. So that'll be good.
So what is the difference between the low cash and the ending cash here in this?
One's a high point and a low point in the month.
Okay, so let's see.
These are the months, and then this is the low point in this month, and this is the high point as far as cash balance.
So it means that we have come from here to here, from here to here, or I don't know.
No. So these are the high points of each given month, and this is the low point. So it went from these are this is the. Does that make sense?
No.
Am I not explaining that
very
well?
Okay, so on the 31st, usually we get the money from the state, so that typically is going to be the high
and
day.
And then we spend, and
then
we
spend,
low.
spend, so we get to low.
Got it, okay.
Yeah, does that make sense? So you see the same trend as you should, and it just gives you kind of where we're
so
at.
So basically, we always have the same gap.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing because we're spending money.
Beginning of the year, you see a lot of expenses.
Yeah, a lot of expenses.
And then middle of the year, some point, you know, you'll see a jump. So,
Is that money that is on the TPIF represented here or no?
Yeah, it's in that first line item, local revenue.
No, on the trends, on the low, when you took it out.
Yes.
It still stayed on there.
Yeah, so if you recall, that was another big discussion when we talked about investing in this, was would that cash be incorporated in our cash balance and our days cash on hand? The answer is yes.
Okay.
Because it is liquid.
Yeah.
Good question. So we're in a good spot. Another thing I wanted to mention from a high level, and it goes along with the conversation of restricted funds, program accounting, the importance of tracking restricted funds, which we'll talk about very often, probably once a month at least. is the concept of days cash on hand of restricted funds and unrestricted funds. Okay, so a good point of the year to look at that is probably at the end of the fiscal year, 6/30. Okay, so at the end of the year, we spend all of our federal funds and request those funds, right? We request the full amount that we were allotted, so there's not going to be any deferrals, with the exception of the lunch program, which is different. The state restricted funds, on the other hand, the majority of that is special education, mm-hmm. Okay? You do see deferrals occasionally in special education. Esperanza is currently carrying a deferral of around $12,000. So we try to spend that down each year, okay? So this year, if we spend more than what's brought in, that's okay, because we have that deferral. In Esperanza's case, that $12,000 amounts to about one day cash on hand, okay? So our day's cash on hand, as reported here, is 109, okay? It was around probably 111 as of 6/30. So you just 111, take it down to 110. That is what our unrestricted day's cash on hand was as of that time. Does that make sense? And that's a big question at the state right now is, okay, well, this is your day's cash on hand, but how much of that is unrestricted? In other words, what deferrals that you have do you have that you on the books as far as cash that you cannot spend on anything? It's restricted, right? So special education or other areas.
Unrestricted funds we can spend anywhere the board wants to spend. Restricted, the state tells us this is only for special ed, this is only for Title I, this is only for Title III, and we have to spend it only in those activities. So if it's restricted, it's very difficult to spend. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, there's one way to spend it, and that's what our plan, that's what our plan that we put together before the school year started, right, states. During the school year, that number is a little bit harder to find because, you know, maybe special education, that money, the state special education, comes monthly. And if you were to look at a profit and loss by class, maybe there aren't, maybe we don't have the expenses to match that revenue. We will by the end of the year.
Right.
And maybe in another area we've spent more than what we've received. But that's not tracked mid-year by the state. And so a good time to look at that unrestricted days cash on hand is at the end of the fiscal year. And so that's what it currently is. Those are the deferrals.
And they would be really worried if you have 100 days cash on hand and 30 of those were restricted funds.
Yeah.
And we never would get
them. There are schools with over $1 million in SPED deferrals.
Yeah. It just says you're not spending what we gave, what they gave you the money for, and so
yeah. And there's another school that I'm relatively close to that has that problem each year. It's like they have a hard time spending down their special education funds, and you know, from an accounting's perspective, the school's perspective, it's like, well, gosh, you know, what would solve all of our problems if they just paid us less money for special education? But from a political standpoint, that would never happen, because then you'd get in the hot water of, hey, you know, are we nickel and diming our special education kids, and why are we reducing? You don't want to ever see a reduction in SPED funds for any school. But schools do face that issue. So, you know, it's an issue of, you know, well, we don't really have the budget to add special education funds, but at the same time, we're getting all this revenue that we have to spend down. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we just have to continue to defer it.
Yeah.
Esperanza's not in that. We're in that boat, thank goodness. So,
now we have about 10% of special education kids. I was reading somewhere.
Yep.
Is that an average, state average?
The state average is 11. Well,
that's a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One it, and it continues to
grow.
Creep up.
Yeah. Especially with all these problems with the drug industry, the number is going to continue to grow.
Yep. Okay, Cody, that's all I had. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, thank you.
There was something, but I think you answered it through the process. Thank you. Becky, do you mind sharing just in a quick way and just going over those September minutes? Just remind us, and then we'll just have a vote for an action.
So the minutes actually that were emailed out, I kind of have a cheat sheet template I use for everybody's input. There's one retraction we need to make, and that's under the executive director principal report. Because it was the first board meeting at the beginning of the school year, we didn't have any, we weren't presented any information about testing, the uniform growth, and or any of the scores under the assessment update. Most of our updates from Alohio were all on the student enrollment, the waiting list, and cultural lesson plans, as well as the school approved for Provision 2 funding, and then the new calendar. So I just went ahead and sent back out to Ari the
updated minutes.
The updated minutes.
Sorry. Which letters are those, or sub-letters?
Those are actually, oh, excuse me, that's a paragraph under discussion and informational items. It's number one, section A, paragraph A, and then all those areas in there, 1 through 4.
So those are all of the things from before? From
yeah,
like
they were from the previous.
July or whatever?
Yeah. Okay. So we didn't have any of that.
So again, point number one,
that, yeah,
A?
The one section A was
one section A, that whole thing,
that whole chunk.
Okay. D as well, because I don't think teachers have already completed their lesson plans at the beginning of the year. We have to cross that out as well.
Yeah,
okay, I'll remove that right now.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought you talked about that, but.
No.
Okay. And then other than that, I, you know, if everybody wants to review, once again, under the financial report, I thought that the audit was wrapped up. We're getting close to being wrapped up last time. But once again, we talked about the PTIF funds, operating margins, revenues, expenses. Also talked about the AISU incident,
mm-hmm.
And the restricted funds as well at the last meeting. We did defer the committee discussion on governance, finance, academic, cultural, charter, minute.
That was my piece,
available.
And I did not come.
Yep. And then we had the PTO report. They reminded us that the big festival is on November 1st, and that the teachers wish to express gratitude for meals provided during parent-teacher conference. So.
Mm-hmm.
And we also looked at changing the discussed, we were going to discuss it tonight, changing the dates in which we meet. I didn't see that on the
I didn't see that either.
Agenda.
No, but or in the Google Drive. The calendar
no,
for
yeah, you talked
meetings.
About uploading or getting us those dates, but
I didn't get it
either.
Not on the Google Drive. I was checking today because I wasn't sure if we have meetings.
Did you see the
but the dates we talked about was changing to the second Thursday starting in January. I put the dates in the minutes. January 9th, February 13th, March 12th, April 9th, and May 13th.
Doesn't that just fit some of the things as they come in better?
I think it was also to accommodate a new board member, Phil. We discussed some different dates, I think, at the meeting, and we agreed that we couldn't do it the first Thursday.
Because Addy needed more time.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly why. We needed more time.
Yeah,
Addy will appreciate that as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. All right, so do we have a motion that would include accepting the minutes with that Section 1A taken out and Section 1B taken out?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as written with the...
It's under the executive director's
section
report.
Section
1A.
Hold on, because...
And I think
1A and 1D. Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Becky already changed that, and she'll take out D.
Okay. I'll take out D right
so
now.
So if we
speak.
Vote on that
yep.
in it, then we
now
can.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
So Marty?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as written with the deletion of, under the caption, discussion information items, Section 1A and Section 1D as in dog.
Second?
I second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Perfect. Motion passes. All right, Alok, do you want to explain a little bit more about the purchase that has been offered between the property, between Shopko and us?
That's correct. So I got a phone call from some realty company, and they...
Representing Shopko?
Yes. Well, the owner of the building. Mm-hmm. It's not Shopko. It's
Shopko's
a company.
Tenant.
Right. And so they offered to buy, and I had no idea what he was talking about. So he says, why don't I send you the map, what I'm talking about, and an offer to purchase. And I forwarded those information to you, I believe. When I saw it, it's like, I didn't know that we owned all the way up to to the building.
Yeah, it was like the thing in front of us, right?
Right.
We didn't know that that was ours in the beginning of the...
That's right.
I remember.
That's right. So it does belong to us. It is recorded under our name. That's how he got a hold of us. And then he called me again. He said, we're very motivated to purchase. Tell us what you want. If it's a fair price, we'll pay. Because we have a buyer for the building. But he wants that property.
The buyer wants that property for access?
Apparently. He says they have a buyer for the building, the Shopko building.
Yeah, I'm looking at the property.
Yep.
Is that a throughway?
Yes.
It just goes back behind.
Is that the primary access to loading and unloading?
No, there's one from the back, the other side.
So it's the secondary.
I thought we were talking about... So we're talking about this,
yes.
Right?
No.
This
just
building.
The one, the little one, yeah.
The 476...
That's right, 020.
And we own everything to the west of that, correct?
Correct. We own everything to the west of that. That's our parking lot.
So do we know if there's already a pre-existing easement recorded?
I believe there's an easement. Because there's an easement on the property coming from 3500 South as well.
So if he has an easement already, why does he want or need ownership?
No idea. He didn't mention that. He just said that he wanted to buy it. He was a little pushy. Mm-hmm. When he called the second time, he said, this is going to... be so much easier for you because this building is going to be occupied. And why would you need that piece of property?
Do we know what they're going to do over there?
No.
He didn't reveal anything.
No.
The pushing is, I think, cause for.
Is that impair our access
flag.
To our parking at all?
Oh, that's right. Okay.
There is no none.
Yeah.
What's the reason that we put the end? Like, because you know how you come in and you have to turn behind the bank and then turn in. Is there a reason they put the entrance? Because had we known this, you could have come in like at a much easier way into the school.
Why?
I don't know. It's just it's a little awkward that you come in here and then come down this way.
Uh-huh. What would it be? What would be the better entrance?
I don't know. It was just a little awkward. Like
it is. That's
but knowing that we had, and do we own from this line here?
Yes. I honestly don't think we should sell. Personally, but I don't think that we should sell the property because we need one of the things that I think we could use that property for, just not the easement, but the other part that we didn't know we owned. Mm-hmm. We could have storage. There is absolutely no storage in this building, none whatsoever.
I you know what I would recommend is that you call back the broker and say, I presume you guys have done your due diligence. We presume, although we haven't checked their title record, that there's already an easement. Record the easement recorded against the parcel. Can you confirm that? And if that's the case,
why do you need to buy
why it? Do you want this? For what purpose?
Mm-hmm.
If you think that we may have in the future some need for storage or whatever over there, I too hate to get rid of it unless they give us an exorbitant price. We may have them over the barrel. If they need this for some particular purpose, and they're going to pay a gigantic premium for it, and we can use that premium for good purposes, and if we think that we can satisfy any future property needs in a different way, it'd be interesting, entertaining, you know, how many millions of dollars that is really worth.
How about if they give us a Shopko building for that piece? No.
Right.
Anyway, I think that's the first step is asking.
Ask him.
If an easement, and if so, what do you want it for?
Okay. I'll do that. I'll contact him. He submitted a proposal. He left the price blank and said, put it in there. If it's fair, we'll talk.
Mm. That's like a dream come true.
I know.
What's the acreage on Esperanza?
I don't have that.
You don't remember? And this piece, any clue what?
It's small.
Half an acre.
Yeah.
Now,
quarter.
So quick question. This part here is ours as well.
Yep. Everything west of that.
So here.
There's more over there.
So if we wanted to do storage, we could do it in that place.
Yep.
We don't really need this space here.
Yeah, but that one on the left, it's a little hill. So we would take out that one. That's all the hill.
But we could, excavate and then make a, something like that, or.
Yeah.
But you could actually put something all the way back up.
Yep.
Right. So like they do that all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm like Marty. If they give us, you know, 10 times what's worth, you know, we could entertain the.
I wonder what they're going to build there that they're so interested.
Yeah, that's what they make me an offer.
If you won't tell us what we're going to what they're going to use it for, just play hardball. Say, well, I don't think we're interested in selling that.
Well, I kind of said that to him from the beginning. This is not what
we're
looking
for. I mean to coax it out
of him. Right. Yeah, I will do that.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean they. Why wouldn't they say what they're gonna do there?
And I didn't ask, so because they
you never asked. No. Oh, so then it makes sense they didn't say so what.
Maybe we're gonna start a poultry business. It could be a rendering facility.
Yeah. Who's asked to know what they want to use it
yes.
for?
Yes,
they're not the same people that own the strip between the two banks, are they?
No, that is owned. He said that is owned by us in
the bank.
In the bank.
Okay.
Because
hasn't that been property that we would be interested in that could actually be used for something?
Maybe.
I mean this, I mean it wouldn't be playground or anything. Just,
no, it's too far. No.
Yeah.
It's too small. Yeah. Anyway, I will do that, and then I'll forward you their answers.
So what are you going to do?
I'm going to call him. I'm going to call him and ask him if there's an easement that we can't block it, why does he want to purchase it?
Right.
And if whatever he says, and then what business is going in there?
But are we gonna? Who are we gonna ask if there's an easement? We shouldn't be asking him. We should be asking the city or something.
We could research it.
What about if he says, "Oh yeah, there's an easement," so you can.
Then why do you want to buy it?
Let's get it. Ask.
Why do you want to buy it if there's an easement?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what Marty's saying. Yeah.
Right. But if there's no easement, we can build there if we want to. We can do the storage there.
Yeah.
So we still need to find from that third party.
That is in the future for us, but
if we want to, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He would gain nothing by saying yes, there is an easement when there isn't. He gains nothing by it.
If there's an easement, we cannot sell it.
I would ask him to send us the he's got a property report on that parcel.
Marty should just call him. He speaks the language.
If you have any questions, CC me on the email, or if you give him a call.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean, I don't want to just take his word. I mean, I want to see that document, right? Like you're saying, yeah.
Guarantee you, if he's willing to buy it, he has a property report on what kind of easements might be recorded against it.
Yeah.
And we have a right to ask what they're building, right? We have our school.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We're waiting on to find out more information.
Yep.
But could you give us a quick pitch about Phil Shumway? That way Marty can go. We actually have enough to vote without, but I want to know his opinion.
Okay, sounds great. We talked about Phil Shumway. I sent you his resume.
It's on there, too.
It's in here.
I didn't receive it. You send it to us when?
I send it to Cody.
You send it to Cody. Cody didn't send it to us.
Yeah.
it came this afternoon. At 11 o'clock or something.
What would be his interest in joining us?
I'm sorry?
What would be his interest or motivation in joining us?
He is a community activist. Most of his life has been with disabled citizens, older. He's an activist for the poor, farm workers and all those people. So he just, when I asked him, because he's been, in fact, it says here that he was the financial officer for Turn Community Services. That's homes for disabled adults. And when I asked him, I told him that we needed somebody that knows about finances. He said, I can help.
He's a finance guy?
Yeah. Yeah, he says, I can help and I can attend once a month. He was concerned if it was more than once a month.
We do need
and
a
I
treasurer.
Said, it's actually 10 meetings a year. He says, that's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we've never really had a Steve Winiski replacement.
Right.
That's a good fit.
Yes.
It sounds like you can vouch for his plays well with others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've known him for 20 years plus. He was on the board when I was the director of a nonprofit in Ogden. He was on the board, he was the board chair for a while.
Is he the guy that, when you guys received this award, is he the guy who was kind of like the University of Utah?
That's Dean Curtis.
Oh, that's Dean Curtis.
That's a different guy. I wish I could get him on the board. He says he would in the future, but not ready.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
No, this, no, Phil is, he lives in Bountiful, so it's not that far.
Caseville is what it says.
Caseville? Yeah. I thought he was Bountiful.
The top of his resume.
Yeah. I thought he was. Bamako for some reason.
It's pretty much
anyway,
it's a big
scam. I think that,
thank you.
I think,
I like that.
Good. I think we've been talking about getting a Melbourne member for a while. But I would personally, I would like him to come first and get to know us, and that we get to know him. Same procedure that we've done with everybody else. So he knows more about us, Papa's culture, and then we vote, right? Kind of like we did with you too, right? You came, Maria came, Angela, like all of us, right?
Okay.
But I'm all for it. I mean, he has my yes already. Okay. But I think it would be, you know, to follow protocol, kind of.
Yeah. He might not like us.
And
no,
it's not a deer breaker, but
no,
and is he
like, make sure you have good food.
Okay,
right?
okay. Yeah. Make sure it's bone in next time.
And he also needs to do his fingerprinting.
So maybe I can have him do his
fingerprints.
So when he comes, he can.
And then we can vote.
Well, next month I'd like to do a couple of little tasks, not to take a lot of time, like we did in the summer.
Right.
Do some policy piece, and then do some. Like look into one of the pieces of the charter. That way we can see how he worked with everybody.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I'm excited. We need a finance guy. I need to. Okay.
Yep. Because we'll do it next time.
Okay. Kilda sent him an invitation to come.
Yep.
Okay. So,
and then he doesn't have to have his school tour when he comes.
He's been here.
He's making it perfect.
When we opened the building. He actually came
to
see the building.
Okay.
So, and when we applied for the Ogden School, he came here. He didn't observe the classes because we
that's
were going,
what I was
going
to say. That,
he
that's
was on
key.
The board of the Ogden School when
okay,
we were opening
that. I'm glad that he's seen the schooling functioning, you know, with kids and to have a better idea of how we work and all that. Good. Okay.
So, the board recommends that he should come to our next board meeting.
Correct.
And do the paperwork. He has to fill out the forms.
The paperwork
and the
fingerprinting.
Okay. Yeah. That's exciting.
Thank you.
Bye, Brian.
Yeah, and I think any committee discussions we're going to do next week. We were going to get together, but again, I've been incognito. So let's go ahead and jump to Fields report.
Awesome. This is my report. Let me begin from the beginning. Today is the quick assessment report, and it is on the Google Drive.
Okay.
If you want to take a look, the whole thing is on the Google Drive, the whole PowerPoint. So this is the three things that we'll be talking about in a minute. But first, it is at the very beginning.
All right.
So this is just as a reminder, red is way below, yellow is below, green is on grade level, blue is way above.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's what that stands for, Indicadores Dinámicos del Éxito en la Lectura.
Mm-hmm.
Indicators are reading.
Spanish.
Reading indicators.
Spanish reading.
Yeah, Spanish.
Whatever it is.
Yep. This is a comparison between last year and this year. The boy is the beginning of year. Idel. Notice that the red is decreasing. The green is increasing. That's what you want.
Yeah.
The green to grow and the red to shrink. And that is where we're going.
We don't have any blue?
No,
I mean, sometimes people do.
Yeah, there's blue on the other report. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's okay. It's the beginning of the year. I'm just asking. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
This is very good. Okay, I'm not trying to. This is excellent.
What? You're blue?
This is another way to look at it.
I don't want to see it.
Look at all the green.
This is great. Yeah,
it's growing. It really is. So,
yeah.
it's
almost
looking 50%. Good.
50%. That's awesome.
That was Dibbles.
Mm-hmm.
That was Spanish. This is English.
We got blue.
Wait, you see? I remember seeing blue in the past.
Now, we have to remember that the state is pushing us.
But that's interesting that we don't have blue in Spanish.
I don't know
Spanish
if they do.
Is a really
we might be
language,
using the whole
don't you know?
Version.
You know what? I think we use
probably
the old version.
Yes, in your life.
Juan, we're using the old version. It does not have blue.
That's what I thought.
It does not have blue.
Okay. I knew there was something.
Just remember when he mentioned it, like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We're using
the
old version.
That's right.
But look at the...
Okay, then I feel better.
Yeah. But look at the English. It really is looking. I don't know if you remember the first year. Does anybody remember the first year?
Oh, yeah.
It was red all the way to the end with a little tiny green.
Yeah, we got all the kids from
yes, here. Yes. And so to see this and to see it growing, I think
and
it's
that's
amazing.
Just the beginning of the year.
That's right.
Yeah, after the summer.
Look at the upper grades. There isn't a lot of blue in the upper grades?
No blue.
There is no blue? Maybe there isn't either. I don't remember.
We have the old version.
There might be. There might be. But it is, the yellow and the green are now more than 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be 8 to 10% green, and there was no blue at that time either. So,
how many kids do you guys have in your summer program through June?
100.
And have you ever done any, like, tracking summer reading loss? Like, look at Dorfman, beginning, and...
We could get 200. We do every year.
So, because I'm sure it affects their reading just by coming.
Are you asking that, like, to see the impact
of the summer?
Impact of the summer kids?
We do.
On this reading
test? But we don't do with the Dibbles.
Okay.
Because we can't access the Dibbles during the summertime. We have another program that we use. So, and we do see the kids that come to summer school, they retain what they've learned. Maybe they don't advance as much, but they retain what they learn in the year.
Mm. You'll get a kick out of this, because the last 2 years my son has been encouraged to do the tutoring at the end. This year on his testing in math, off the chart. Like, he's just doing amazing, doing great work, or doing a good job compared to what he's always done. They're always saying he's good at math, but smart.
Right.
But his actual test scores showed it this time. Mm-hmm. But now his reading has dropped. But she said that's what happens in fifth grade, because you go from trying to get them to slow down instead of going fast.
Right.
So, it's just they change how they do the reading a bit in fifth and sixth grade.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But they don't want to. But why don't they do the tables in the summer? What test do they use?
I don't recall. It's a kit that we have, in fact, in this room.
Oh, okay. DRA?
They're kits. No, I can't recall that.
It's okay. But I mean, it matches with the what you guys want.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely. Yeah. Now, this is school wide, and if you want to just one shot at school wide, again, the red is shrinking a little bit, and the green and blue, because that's on grade level, that's expanding, as you can see. So it's 40, 50% are in green or blue. They're on grade level as of today, or beginning of the year. That's another way to look at it. And then the iReady.
Go back to the previous, sorry. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good job.
We're really excited. Some of you probably don't remember the beginning of the year when I used to bring the reports and just hurt
my turn.
Heart.
No.
Yes. I was like, I don't want to talk about this. Can I just send it to you email?
Because I don't have to.
It was painful.
Pasar la vergüenza.
You don't get asked where the blue is.
Yeah. Where's the blue?
Where's the blue? Juan, aren't you happy with green?
Oh, it's in blue. Math is in blue.
There you go.
The iReady does not necessarily match the end of levels. Okay? But we have to have something, because otherwise, how do we set our goals? Mm-hmm. But as you can see, the upper grades are a little bit higher. And that's because they've been here longer. So we certainly hope that continues. This is another way to look at it. This is the same, iReady. And what we're asking teachers, in the past, we used to only look at kids on grade level. That's it. To give them the bonuses. Starting this year, we will look at red, yellow, green, and blue. And so if they show a year's growth, it doesn't matter that they don't reach proficiency. The percentage of kids that they were successful with will increase. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So a kid in red, low red, stays in red, but shows a year's growth. That is a successful number for the teacher.
Okay.
Good.
Because they're showing progress. Mm-hmm. In the past, we had some teachers that they knew, this is the kids that are on grade level, I just need to keep those, and they talked to those 10 kids only, or 5 kids. They even had them in groups. This is the advance. And they taught those kids, they planned for those, and maybe one more that was close. And at the end of the year, they would get their bonus because they got 6 people instead of 5. And so we can't do that because the state and reading is requiring a year's growth for 60% of the kids. So last year, I compared, especially in one teacher, if we looked at 1 year's growth, she failed horribly. Only 37% of her kids were advanced one grade level. Mm. Almost 4 kids out of 10. But she got the full bonus because the 4 kids that were in on grade level stayed on grade level. Mm-hmm. And then she got 2 more to stay on, to go up to grade level, the close ones. But that's not 60% of the kids.
Yeah.
And so at one of the board meetings, the director's meetings, they said, this is what we do in our school. And I thought, why don't we do that? Mm-hmm. And so that's, right now, we just got the results all in the system. So I'll be meeting with the teachers in the next couple of weeks, one at a time, setting goals for the end of the year.
Right.
And it'll be 60% of the kids will show growth, 1 year's growth, mm-hmm. or more.
So, are there any plans for teachers to share those goals with kids? You need to move this many words per minute or this many.
So some teachers outdoor, actually, I was thinking about it because some teachers have, they were going to post their scores because they get tested twice a month and they were going to put them on a bulletin board. And I said, that would violate FERPA.
Yeah.
But you can have a folder for each child, mm-hmm. and after they take their test, they can go in and do it.
Right.
Record it, and they will see that the bar graph is going higher, not lower. Mm-hmm. And so they're doing that, and in fact, on the 8th of November, 2 teachers that are doing that now will present to the rest of the faculty and staff. So that they know how to, because as the kids see their growth, they get excited. They want to keep going.
And I'm sure that in parent-teacher conference, they have a graph or something, sure, right? Yeah.
So this is going to start happening.
Good.
Awesome. Our enrollment is a little bit lower for one reason. We haven't asked too many kids to join until the end of the term. The end of the term is today. Adi just called a few teachers or parents. How many?
Four
have accepted.
They just want them to start Monday.
They will start Monday because that's the start of a new term, not only for us, for most of the Granite school districts. Mm-hmm. And so they leave there at the end of first term. They join us at the beginning of second term on Monday. So we'll have maybe, we said 7, but right now we have 4 for sure, but up to 7. So we expect.
How do you deal with the upper grades?
We don't touch upper grades.
You only invite lower grades. Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. Cause it's a little.
No, they're unless they're fully bilingual.
Yeah, they're Latinos and they.
But we can't choose, so we just don't.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so we just don't. We have a 5th grade with only 60 kids, 20 in each class.
Yeah.
But we don't want to add anymore. And 6th grade is full, so we just don't touch 5th and 6th.
Yeah, if they're newcomers, that's. That's
hard.
Oh, impossible.
No. I'm saying they're coming from Mexico. That's excellent because they speak Spanish already and they read Spanish.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I thought. Or
yes. But or then we need to do ESL classes for them. And we do. And we do. If we needed some, we would get some.
I mean, if you need to.
Because of language, but we don't seek them out.
We don't. No. We if we need a 5th grader, we can't pick them.
No,
we just have to randomly select them. And we don't even do it.
Right.
HWIRE has a system where they do the lottery.
Risk.
Yeah, so we just pick.
There's no picking and choosing.
Yeah, right now, first, second, and third is what we're looking at. Kinder, we don't add too many because they are only funded at 50%
anymore
of the WPU. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kindergarten kids are only funded at 50% of the WPU because kindergarten is not required in the state of Utah. And most schools only do 50% of the day.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you do all.
Yeah.
Well, so when Squire comes in, too, they don't even ask me for
They don't even ask like, for kinder.
First and second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we only, right now, we're only looking, even first is too full, correct?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. First is.
So second, I think we needed one. And third, we needed one. Fourth, I think up to fourth, we need a few.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're still above. 7 students above the maximum.
Okay.
This is just so that at the end of third term, we stop. We don't. If somebody leaves, we don't replace them, and we don't want to fall below the 525.
Right.
So we keep it a little bit high throughout the year, and then the last 3 months we just not enroll anybody, and we still have 200. We'll show. In fact, let me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll show you this first. This is much more fun.
cool.
So our kids will be playing at Bravenel Hall. It's Friday the 1st, a week from tomorrow. They gave 30 of our children free tickets to go in. They're like $50 a ticket.
Oh, wow.
So
that's the cheap seats.
I know.
Yeah.
I looked.
There's seats for $300.
My.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're all
our kids
sold
will
out.
Be welcoming the people as they come in. They'll be in the atrium right there in the front. And we'll take 60 kids that will be there. And so
and gonna
it's going to be Friday night and Saturday night. And they're giving us $2,000, $1,000 for each day. So this is really exciting.
So they're performing and they get to watch the show? Is that right?
Yes, yes. They're performing as the people are coming in right there in the front. And then as soon as 15 minutes before the show begins, they stop and then they go into their seats.
So. That's really cool, especially because it goes it's around
Coco.
A kid. That, yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The symphony with
yeah.
Coco.
Huh. Yeah, and they played all the music from the movie. The movie is silent when the music is playing. They play live right there in the front.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. I've done that. I've gone to other.
That's why they charge $300 a ticket in the front. Yeah. A couple of things. The University of Utah, they played last week. No, this week.
Yes.
2 days ago.
Tuesday.
They played at the University of Utah, and they were amazed. There were people from around the nation, from New York and all those places, that came to Alan to congratulate him afterwards. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was some professor meeting type thing for...
Yeah.
I met professors from Berkeley. And
yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was amazing. These kids loved it.
Yeah.
The other one is a mariachi that was formed because of the kids that have left. Really didn't... feel welcome at the other schools, and they wanted to keep their own mariachi. A parent asked me to call the principal of a school down the street, and I forget what it is. Just
Kennedy?
Is it the one where the soccer fields are?
Westlake or Kennedy?
Westlake. And I talked to the principal. If he needed any support, we would help him start the mariachi, because we had like 7 kids there that were planning to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, no, we don't have any funding, with all kinds of excuses. And so Alan started a little academy at night. What time for what? 6 o'clock?
As soon as he leaves, from whatever it takes him from leaving the school to getting there.
Yeah, it's 6 to 8, but he stays until 10.
Now
it stays until 10 o'clock.
Where's he bound to meet?
Huh?
Where is he?
His brother owns a place down the street.
West Jordan,
yeah. So they meet there. He's got about 20 kids, and they are now playing at weddings and quinceañeras.
It's
that's
the
them on the left.
Right there, so the
yeah,
the older
that's
kids.
Them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And those are all our ex-students.
Those are all of our kids except for one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's exciting.
And then, yeah, they
but
love
that
it.
That they can continue.
Yes.
Ismael loves it.
Yeah.
Oh, Ismael is amazing.
So, I want to show you something that he is doing a little different also.
Oh, continue.
This is Norteño music from northern Mexico, even though it's popular over there. It's because I have poor reception. They play perfectly. I mean, this sounds a little weird, but it's... They know 7 songs in 2 weeks. And Ismael is still helping with that. But we have 3 other kids that play the accordion as well.
Samuel, he dances while he plays, and he puts on his sombrero, he's in mete papeles. And they're doing bass.
They have a
drum.
I think I told them last time. So they have a 10-string and a 12-string guitar, a bass guitar. And they have the accordion, 2 violins, and the drums.
If you go to his Facebook page, he did that one today. He did a live.
I did this live too. Let me quickly see if I can see the other one. It sounds a lot better on here. Oh, there he is.
Who's the junior high that's supposed to be the one taking the dual immersion kids as they graduate up?
There's
supposed to be one, but I don't know who it is.
I think most of them went to Kennedy or...
But do they have do they have half their periods in Spanish and half in English?
No, I don't think there's any junior high that does.
Nothing.
I don't know why we have such a hard time.
One day we need to start at the junior high.
The parents want us to start next year.
You have to get someone who can
the one
do
class.
Because I know you should probably with elementary.
And
you want
to Salt Lake
junior high with it being as a first language.
This is.
Well, no, high school offers it at the level that our kids are at.
But just one period.
But they offer Spanish and
But you don't get to take math or history in Spanish.
No.
Let's be part of
it.
There needs to be one.
Taylor's vote continues it. So my daughter's speaking Spanish from the University of Utah. Their professors come from the U.
But it's not dual immersion.
She's getting credit. It's higher than, like, it's college level Spanish.
What school is it?
At Taylorsville.
Taylorsville.
It's why I've always been.
But that's the only thing that's continuing.
But then
so far.
It's like always junior been high. There's a standstill, and then you know
it
it's kind
again.
Of hard to go.
It's
back
why
here.
That IB is. It's why IB is interesting because they have middle years, primary years, and then the classes that give them college credit, and it's set up already run in English, Spanish, and French.
Mm-hmm.
And if, I don't know, if we could just get a junior high somewhere to adopt the middle school or the middle years program and to do it half in English, half in Spanish.
Yeah. He went to the junior high building.
Tiny
little space. Tiny little space.
Just do 7th and 8th grade.
The school that I saw in Valencia was just amazing.
Just so you know, we have no space in this building for anything. We have two people in her office. We have two people in Julia's office.
Alan can find space. He's good at that.
Again.
Yeah.
So if we had space, I think that would
be impossible right now.
I know. Right now it's not
a possibility. Yeah. But are they selling this piece of property?
Yeah. $800,000.
$800,000.
Which is not that much.
Huh.
But we kind of negotiate. What are they going to do? Who are they going to sell it to? I mean, who's going to purchase that? Like, there's not even parking lot. I mean, they will have to do their own parking lot. It would be like a little thing.
I think they should sell it to us. Maybe this guy can help us buy it. He's very, very certain. Okay, just briefly, we have 238 kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have 238 students on the waiting list. About half of them. Half of them probably are still available. The other ones are in other schools, and they'll wait until next year if we want them. Just a couple of things coming up. Picture makeup, if you still want your picture taken, it's on Tuesday, the 5th. Not next week, but the following week. And the Winter Festival is on Thursday at 6 p.m. on the 5th of December.
Granger
High School. And if you want to see that band that we're just playing,
go to it.
Again, what day on?
You got to come.
Are they going to be there? Are they going
to? I think on December.
They have to. They have to, and
it's so hard to get those on and off.
And the stadium, no, we're gonna start with mariachi and the band, like
so
we did last year.
So it is a winter festival.
And then they're gone
the Thursday.
I mean, we
the
you find two
and cinco.
It's a lot better.
And November 1st is the.
Día de los Muertos.
Yeah. Día de los. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
You totally went to winter.
I know. I was excited about
forgot
that.
Forgot the turkey and the stuff.
Yeah, Día de los Muertos is on the 1st.
Okay,
and it's from
6 to 8:30.
8 to 8:30. Our mariachi band is supposed to be coming back from Abravanel Hall.
Oh, good luck.
Play. Why?
They're not going to want to play here. They're going to want to play with their friends.
They're going to want to play in the festival.
I know, but they're musicians. They love it.
They're kids.
Hey, no, you know what?
I'm telling you right now, Madeline will come back angry.
What time do they come back?
Here's what happened today.
It's
listen,
her last year.
Alan,
we're having a haunted house.
I know.
She's not going to want to perform.
Alan needed to leave today.
And she's spent
and she doesn't
she's
have
Colombian.
To.
She's Colombian.
We have 60 kids. I think 30 will be able to play. For 30 minutes?
I was going to tell Madeline might need to be out because she performs Friday. Yeah. She performs Saturday with the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the mariachi, and she's a kid.
Yeah.
She wants
we know, that's why we limit the number of times they play per month.
I know, but by the time we get back here, we're going to bring them in and then say, no, you cannot do any of the activities, go sing some more.
I'll tell you that today, Alan wanted the kids to leave because he had to go to the other place, and he was playing with his kids, and the kids didn't leave.
And I'll tell you something, and I'm just because I'm a witness to it. The kids from the Norteño, in their recess,
go and
say, can we practice, maestro? And he's like, go to recess. Can we practice?
Yeah.
And
they're practicing
15 minutes there.
And sometimes they take the guitar to recess, and they're sitting there playing.
It's just, wow.
Yeah.
Les monedas, los compañeros.
I know.
Just kidding.
Yeah. It is amazing. These kids love what they're doing. Yeah, maybe the sixth graders, and maybe Alan can excuse the sixth graders.
Mm-hmm.
We have fourth and fifth graders that are amazing.
Okay.
And so he's really excited about
She may not even want to play by the time she gets here.
He'll be tired.
Yeah.
So Granger, December 5th,
at
what time?
6 p.m. 6 to 7 is 1 hour.
If you haven't been there, it is amazing.
Yeah.
You need to go there.
It's
if you haven't.
So, oh, yeah.
To the to Granger, where they're gonna perform, it's really good.
Last spring was the best that it's ever been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
we're
the first year
security
too.
Guards this year.
The first year was just painful.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a process.
Yeah, it is a process.
You do have that guy
it gets better and better.
Who's
yeah.
a little
but this last.
What's the song means?
Oh,
this last spring.
He doesn't have
energy.
Should
we take that off? Should we turn it off to answer that? To ask that? We can go ahead and.
We're closed.
That's it.
Yeah,
we're done.
Close.
Just quickly.
You didn't have any info about
PT,
anything
yeah.
extra about the day of the dead that we didn't say already, or? Oh,
no.
She's here.
Yeah.
I didn't even know we had the haunted.
We have
house.
The haunted house that's being done by the Granger High, because what I was telling Natalie is we need a big ticket item. Because we pre-sell tickets, so tickets go on sale next week, and then we sell them at the door, and then they don't use all their tickets. And it's a fundraiser, but some people just don't get that. And so they'll come back to me and say, I didn't use all my tickets, I want my money back. And it's like, we don't do refunds.
And so it's Granger High School students.
You know what, we need to have a sign.
We do, and we talked about that
yeah,
last
a
year.
Big sign.
It's like, we need a sign that says, you know, fundraiser, no refunds.
Yeah.
Some
yeah.
people get it, but every
most
year
people get
we
it.
Have people coming
yeah.
back. But last year we didn't really have any big ticket items, and so we talked about Haunted House, how
yep.
fun that would be. And so, I mean, we don't have enough help through the PTO, so we get these Latinos in Action kids from the different schools.
Nice.
So we put Granger in charge of it, and they're really excited, so they're going to do it in the library.
Was even the food part of the tickets? Like
the
yep.
food,
the tacos and everything.
Tickets,
you know?
Yeah.
And I can tell you.
And we sell out of food.
Yeah,
we
do
sell
every
out
year.
Of taco
yeah.
tacos. We sell out of pizza. We sell out of everything.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, a lot of it's just like one ticket because it's just a little activity in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
So
this year the tacos are going to be a little different because the tacos el pariente. This is a guy that sells tacos. He's donating hundreds of tacos
wow.
for the mariachi because we don't want to take food in the bus, cheap stuff,
mm-hmm.
when we play at an event. So we asked them, and he says, I'll donate the tacos.
Oh, wow.
And so every place where we play, he takes the tacos. And so I think it's amazing. So this year, we're letting him make money here,
mm-hmm.
But he's going to give us some money as well. So
nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he gave
you guys quite a bit of money when he came to the.
We did
the
older
yeah, donated everything.
The older mariachi group that's out of the school.
Well, I only saw that $20
at the tacos. A birthday bash for him on Sunday, and the band donated their
time
because of all the everything he does
all
for
the
us.
He does so
he still turned around and donated money to the.
Did
band.
He really?
Mm-hmm.
And. Today, when he was listening to this Norteño band, he emailed Alan and he said, those kids need tejanas, those Mexican hats,
mm-hmm.
sombreros.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna
how many do you need? I'm going to buy them for him.
My
and
God.
They're about $100 each.
Wow.
Where's his store?
Huh?
Everywhere.
He doesn't have a store.
He's a taco truck.
He's a cart.
He's got like 50 trucks that he
has.
Yeah,
he has.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's the other thing. The lady over here at the... Red, what is
the
it?
The swap meet.
She donated
the
kids. No, she
no,
donated
the
mariachi clothes for the little
for
mariachi.
For the
aguilitas.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And she's donating the place for a fundraiser for us. So we're going to take the three mariachis, the Norteño band, and the folkloric dancers to her space for free. And we're going to charge people. We're trying to figure out $10 with a meal for adults, maybe $5 for children under 10.
That's great.
Tacos, free tacos that
because
you guys can give us.
What is this event for?
Music.
For the mariachi?
A fundraiser for the mariachi because we're going to buy mariachi outfits from Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
The big mariachi?
Yeah, they're about $150 to $200.
When are you going to buy them?
When
Madeline graduates from sixth grade.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Well, we want to have them by November.
This year?
Yeah.
Wow.
At the end
that's
of next month.
Look at those are the little. See, you can kind of see them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, and the lady from the swap meet, she said that the only
The shirts, the ties, the pants, I mean, everything.
The only thing she asked is when the little mariachi grows out of them to donate them to the new kids.
Oh, yeah.
And then she will replace the other ones if needed. But she's like, just make sure that the ones that
Haven't you been at the place you have to limit the kids that go in?
Yeah.
You haven't had to have tryouts or anything?
No. We won't.
Oh, we had to.
Oh, no.
I don't know if there were still kids that wanted to play.
No, we have 200 kids. 200 of the kids, and anybody that wants to play, we do have a little waiting list, but it's because we don't fit anywhere. But you know, if kids drop out, we bring in from the waiting list.
The kids have so much fun. The couple times I've been here, I'm like, I want to get my guitar and just go.
Well,
and
then
just,
they love their bus drives. Like, there are bus drives everywhere.
Oh, they're singing. They're, a couple of them were sleeping with all kinds of noise on the bus. I'm like, how can you sleep on the bus?
I drove my car. I sacrificed. And I stayed off the bus.
Okay. The chess team is doing
it's 7:15. Let's go ahead and
beautifully.
Okay.
They are doing really good. We did a school tournament.